It's time now for the OSG.
Three whoopies and a hot damn.
Quarter count.
For sure. It's football time.
College.
The lateral. To the corner of the end zone. Can you believe that?
Football.
All the band is out on the field. He's going to go into the end zone.
Preview show.
It's Division I football.
ACC.
SEC.
Big East.
Big 10.
Big 12.
Big 10.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
The stadium is worse than bonkers.
Featuring expert pigskin commentary from the online sports guys.
How can you not love this place?
Let's kick off this show with your host, John Nelson.
Let her rip.
Yes, what was the phrase in, what was the movie with the 12-year-old? Poltergeist. They're here. But see, she needed to say they're back.
Yeah, and you got to be a little bit more specific about 12-year-olds.
Careful. Thank you. All right, we're going to start off with the SEC like we always do. And for the games that we're not going to talk about or toss to sound
well,
about.
We haven't started with the SEC in a while because we haven't done the show in a while.
That's beside the point. J-Dub, the games that we don't care about.
Thanks, guys. Let's first start off the SEC with the games where the lines have not been posted yet. Western Kentucky's taking on Tennessee. Jackson State's taking on Mississippi State. Missouri State and Arkansas are going head-to-head. Number one, Florida and Charleston Southern, Western Carolina versus Vanderbilt, and I think that's the last one. I think the lines are posted for the rest of them. You've got Kentucky at Miami of Ohio. The Wildcats are getting 14.5-52, which is no surprise there. Georgia, number 13, versus number 9, Oklahoma State. The Cowboys are getting 6.63 in that game. That's going to be a pretty decent game there. I'm a man. I'm 40. Can't forget that. Kenya Mike Gundy. You got Auburn versus Louisiana Tech. You've got 13.5-44 for the Tigers. That's not a bad spread there. Then you've also got Alabama, number 5, versus number 7, Virginia Tech, ACC-SEC battle. Bama's getting 6.39 in that one. Number 11, LSU is taking on Washington. UW is not the favorite here. LSU's getting 18.54 in that battle. And then number 8, Ole Miss versus Memphis. Mississippi's getting 17.5-54. Back to you guys.
All right. Let's see. So our marquee game by default, and the way that we decide this, is home team, or closest to, in this neutral site nonsense. We'll go with Virginia Tech and Alabama, and as of taping, as I sit here and fish for numbers, Alabama started out 6-39, and it's pretty much stayed the same, 6, 6.5, and 38. Go.
I give Virginia Tech a puncher's chance in this game because of that defense.
Yeah, and I would have to agree. Alabama's had a couple of off-field problems here as we get closer to game day. A couple of guys having a few legal issues, which kind of leads me to believe that they're not quite all on the same page just yet.
And keep in mind, too, Virginia Tech is also carrying the banner for the ACC after the way Clemson performed in this game last year. And the ACC desperately needs a team to be able to get up in that top five echelon of the AP polls, the coaches' polls. They really need that for their psyche. And really, because like Lee did finish strong last year, but Virginia Tech, a lot of pressure is on them. You almost could see a similar situation with Clemson last year. Remember, they put so much pressure on themselves to win that game. I really don't see that with Virginia Tech, although they really could, knowing the circumstances they're under.
No, I think they're ready to play. I think they realize what's at hand and what the opportunity is for them. I'm just not sure they're up to it. I mean, they're a good team.
They're very limited on offense. We know that.
Yeah, and you're playing a team that's very strong on defense. Consequently, that could portend a pretty low-scoring game.
So we're looking at a 10-6 game?
Quite possibly, or 13-10, or some low number like that. John, what do you think?
I say bet the under, and let's hear from the coaches.
I think our team is really excited about playing a game. I think we're a little tired of hitting each other and playing against each other, and Virginia Tech is certainly an outstanding opponent, a top-10 caliber team, and we certainly enjoy the challenge and the opportunity that we have playing against a team like Virginia Tech, who has a lot of starters back, very good defensive team, really good skilled quarterback who can make a lot of plays, and they're definitely known for their special teams. Our team has done pretty well. Brandon Dedrick, obviously, probably will miss this game, but is very fortunate not to be injured any worse than he is. We're fighting the flu like a lot of people are right now, and we've had a few players affected by that. But hopefully we'll be fortunate enough not to have anybody affected by that for this game.
As you look at Alabama more and more, you see what a challenge we got. Very veteran defense, veteran kicking game. Got a couple of new guys on the offense, but you know, very talented football team, a very well coached football team, and you know, we got a tremendous challenge ahead of us.
Isn't it interesting that Frank Beamer at least three times could have been the Alabama head coach,
but yet he's still in Virginia Tech?
They love him in Blacksburg.
I remember when he started in Virginia Tech, I was actually up in that Virginia area working in Lynchburg as sports producer and photographer. And he really didn't know what he was doing at the time, but boy, has he grown into the role.
He certainly has. I'm interested to see how, two things, how Tyrod Taylor, how he plays in this game, because really, he is the focal point on offense.
Oh, yeah, their season hinges on how consistent he's going to be this year.
And how Alabama's offense, because there are a lot of changes there, especially at the quarterback position, how they respond, because Virginia Tech defense is solid.
Well, even more important, I think, is you got two key offensive linemen who graduated for Alabama last year. Antoine Caldwell and Andre Smith, both are gone, and both were key members of that unit, and it's going to be interesting to see who steps up to replace them.
And you know, that's the kind of things Bud Foster loves to exploit. You know that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, go for it.
And it's going to be a raucous crowd, too, at the Georgia Dome as well.
All right, other games in the SEC going by the home teams, Tennessee 27 and 44, which is now up to 29.5 and 44.5. And who else is at home in the SEC?
Can I ask you a question, John?
Yeah.
What do those numbers mean?
Auburn is a 13.5-point favorite, and your total is 44.
Okay.
And I think those are really the only other two games that J-Dub talked about. He's already talked about them, and we got about a minute here. So is there anything else that strikes your fancy in the SEC? I can sense that the answer to that
Traditionally, the SEC most of the SEC teams start with cupcakes to get kind of, you could almost call them practice games to get their season started. There are some exceptions to that, but not a lot.
Well, the only game that sticks out for me, and that's because I'm a fan of one team and an alum of the other, is Arkansas playing Missouri State. So,
oh, that's right. It's off the board, yeah.
It's off the board, but, you know, that's the one that intrigues me. I look at it as a win-win situation for me.
We got 30 seconds left. Any other issues? Now, remember, we're talking home teams. Oh, Charleston Southern in Florida. That one opened up, 63 or 73 on the board?
Yeah, something like that. I mean, come on. The bloodletting happens right there.
Yeah, like I told you, practice game. That's all you can say.
How long
practice.
Does Tebow play?
One quarter, maybe two.
Yeah, I could see that. Let's see. What's the other games off the board? Western Carolina at Vanderbilt. The new season is here. The new season is here.
Thank you, Navin Johnson.
Yeah. All right. What have we decided? What's going to be B block?
B block Big 12.
Okay. Big 12. When we come back. And by the way, we're back if you haven't noticed.
The Count Pointer Count College Football Preview Show on OSG Sports Radio.
The stadium rocks and swings.
Ew. It stinks in here.
Passing gas in the company of others is not only taboo, it can be deadly.
I'm gagging.
Passing gas releases a plume of toxic vapors like ammonia and hydrogen cyanide.
Oh, you're killing us over here.
Daddy, you promised you'd smoke outside.
You're right, Pumpkin. Excuse me.
If you smoke, take it outside. Don't pass gas. A message from the American Legacy Foundation and the Ad Council. Get the facts at don'tpassgas.org.
Folks, I've been informed we'll be in a holding pattern for the next hour.
It's time to play Take on Orbits.
Today's players need to alert each of their clients they'll be late for a meeting from midair.
Oh.
Ready? Go.
Done.
Orbitz notifies anyone you're running late automatically.
Introducing Orbitz TLC. You get treated like a VIP only when you book on Orbitz and go.
Hello, fire department. I just called to let you know that I am a bomb and I'm about to blow up. Whoops. Cancel that. It's too late.
B-Block for the College Football Show, and we go from the SEC to the Big 12, kind of flipping coins in the break, and we've decided it is the 12 because of Georgia heading to Stillwater. And J-Dub, what about the other games we're not going to talk about?
Thanks, John. There's a lot going on in the Big 12 this week. Whew. A lot of them, again, without lines posted as of time of taping. So let's go through those first. North Dakota and Texas Tech. The Red Raiders are taking on a team I didn't even know existed. You've also got Northern Colorado versus number 25 Kansas, K-State versus UMass, and that looks like the last one without a posted line. Let's go see what we've got now. Wake Forest versus Baylor. Wake Forest is getting 252 against the Bears. Georgia number 13 is Oak State, 663. We heard about that in the SEC segment. Missouri and Illinois. Illinois is getting 361 against Mizzou. You got New Mexico, Texas A&M. The Aggies are getting 755 against New Mexico. Number 2, Texas versus Louisiana Monroe. Texas is getting 42-61.5. That's going to be a runaway. Number 3, Oklahoma versus number 20, BYU. Oklahoma's getting 25-69.5. That game's at 7 o'clock if you want to see a lot of offense. Florida Atlantic versus number 24, Nebraska. Nebraska's getting 22.5-60.5, which is not unusual for the Cornhuskers this time of year. And last but not least, it's always nice to kick off against a neighboring rival, Colorado's versus Colorado State. Colorado's getting 10-51.5 on Sunday night. That game is at 7 o'clock. Nelson, Wilkie, Phil, back to you guys.
Okay, I'm going to start with Phil because Phil actually got to spend time up in Athens this week. And what was the vibe up there in Athens for your Georgia Bulldogs?
Pretty straightforward. They have reacted well to not having the microscope upon them this year. I'm trying to think of a good way to put that. They're relaxed. They're confident. I really think that Georgia's going to be a better team this year. Will they have a better record? I don't know. They seem to be ready to play this game. They're ready to hit somebody other than guys in either red or white. And they have some question marks, but they've got a whole lot of athletes and a whole lot of talent to fill a lot of those holes.
You know, up until about, up until about the beginning of this week, I really liked Oklahoma State in this game because everything was pointing toward a big statement for the Cowboys. You're opening up a brand new Boone's Pickens Stadium. This is probably the biggest game you've had at that stadium.
Well, since it's ever. Since it's the first game.
Other than the Bedlam series. I'm not talking about this year, though. Other than the Bedlam series, I mean program-wise. But then it just seems to have unraveled a lot for Mike Gundy. I mean, you've had your starting tight end leave the team. Mm-hmm. Had a player arrested. The whole media flap now.
Yeah, and then now he's talking about not wanting to do the college football
handshake.
Requested handshake. Yeah, I don't know what happened. All of a sudden, it's like his sphincter just got incredibly tight overnight.
See, I don't know if it's just gamesmanship or what, but it just seems like things are getting to the pokes. And, you know, I'm tending to favor more Georgia now because...
Yeah, while this is a big game, it's hardly...
And there's no pressure on the Bulldogs, unlike last year when the weight of the world was on them.
None whatsoever, but the Gundys seem to think that there's pressure on them, and I don't know why. I mean, it's not a conference game. It's not going to affect where they're going to end up in the 12, but yet they're treating it like their national championship game.
Let's hear from Mark Richt and Mike Gundy.
I get excited. You know, I'm anxious. I mean, I'm curious. Maybe the best word. Very curious to see what we got. Very curious to see how we will respond in this game and throughout the season. But you get a pretty good taste in game one, although, you know, this game is different than a lot of other season openers we've had in the years past.
You know, the question that you get all the time is compare this game to what happened 2 years ago, and my answer has been, I think Georgia is a very good football team. I think they have a lot of talent. I think they're very strong. I think they're very physical, like they have been for a number of years. But I think that our football team overall in all three phases, and from an organizational standpoint, I think we're a better team than we were. I think Georgia's as good as they were when we played them 2 years ago. And I've said this a number of times. They lost a couple first-round picks. But Georgia's got players. They always have, and I'm going to guess for a long time they always will. So The best example I can give is the first time that we ever heard of No'Shawn Moreno was when we played him, and they were concerned whether they had anybody that would be able to run the football.
Again, As I said, this is a big game in Stillwater, and it just seems to be unraveling. And I really like Georgia in this game because of the fact that they don't have the pressure as they had on them last year, and OSU just seems to have all the pressure on them. And on the outside looking in, they just don't seem to be handling it well.
No, and Coach Rick told me yesterday he really likes this team. It's got some senior leadership in the right places. Granted, Joe Cox hasn't played a whole lot, but he knows his system inside and out, the Mark Richt system inside and out. And that'll be a factor in the game to see how he handles it once he gets out there on the field and is playing for real.
I'll give the Pokes this. They have some outstanding skill players, and they have the talent there to match Georgia. The line play, special on defense, a little suspect.
Yeah, and then losing their middle linebacker here on Monday with an ACL injury, and their starting cornerback to, well, I don't know, I wouldn't say the starting cornerback's not going to play. He has some issues, but I wouldn't be surprised to see him lining up out there.
It will be Bedlam, though, in Stillwater.
And if you're looking for a Vegas number, get a load of this. Oklahoma State, a 5 or a 6-point favorite, and the number right now, 61.5.
I could see the number. I don't see the favorite part.
I don't see the favorite part either, not after this week. Of course, they might end up winning it, but I don't know. After the week they've had in Stillwater, I'm not so sure.
Yeah. If Georgia gets out on them fast, it could be over in a hurry.
And of course, Oklahoma State is playing the mighty SEC, and there's that dynamic as well, especially a Big 12 South school playing an SEC East school. I mean, that's...
Maybe that's
those are the two best divisions right there in college football.
Gotten so tight.
Could be.
Other games on the board, you've got the Jerry Dome hosting BYU and Oklahoma.
Which I think is going to be a great game.
Oklahoma's a 22-point favorite in that game.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love the quarterback battle.
Yeah, I don't know necessarily that BYU is better than Oklahoma, but I don't know that there are 22-point difference between the two teams either.
A&M hosting New Mexico, 14 or 15. The line started at 7. It's up to 2 touchdowns now and the total of 55 or 56. I'm scanning, so kill some time. Let's see. Nebraska hosting Florida Atlantic.
Oh, the Fighting Schnellenbergers.
22 or 23, and your total is 61. Louisiana Monroe, the Warhawks, 41-point underdogs at Texas.
Sacrificial lambs. I've noticed that the 12 tends to do a little bit of what the SEC does the first week.
If it works for them.
Commonly referred to as a payday game. So what are we going to do in the next block?
We are going to talk...
I don't know.
Sure.
We're going to talk Big Ten football because we can.
All right. That's coming up next. That'll be the C block. That'll be the third most important thing you need to know this weekend.
Stay tuned. More college football previews are coming up on this special edition of Count Pointer Count on OSG Sports Radio.
Peter Carmanos is the real owner of the Carolina Hurricanes, not an actor. So to help tell his story, we hired a professional wrestler.
When I first moved my team to North Carolina, a lot of people said it wouldn't work.
To be the man, you got to beat the man!
Woo! So to help endear ourselves to fans, we named our team after devastating tropical storms.
The Nature Boy! Woo!
We made our mascot a pig, an animal best known in the area for social events called pig pickings,
barbecue, cold slaw, and hush puppies! Woo!
Attendance was low at first, but as we brought in better players, attendance picked up.
Limousine riding, jet flying, son of a guns!
Woo! And then we won the Stanley Cup. It was fantastic.
Won the Stanley Cup, it's a birthday. Won the Stanley Cup, it's a birthday. Won the Stanley Cup, it's
Carolina Hurricanes. Real Stanley Cup, real hockey.
A word of warning. Some of the images you're about to see are awesome.
Are you incapable of restraining yourself, or do you take pride in being an insufferable know-it-all?
Whoa, dumber than advertised.
Welcome back, College Football Preview Show here on OSG Sports and OSG Sports Radio. And we decided that it's going to be the 10 this time for the C Block. C Block, third conference of the six that we'll talk about. And the bottom line here, the game that we've kind of chosen, Western Michigan at Michigan, because of the subtext. And let's just go ahead and listen to some of the subtext from the week, courtesy of our friends at WXYZ and OnlineSportsGuys.com.
I want to talk majority of the time, as Bruce mentioned, about Western Michigan. This is game week, and we've had a good three-week camp, and I want to talk about any questions you have about depth chart or how preparations are going. But you know, obviously, we need to address the situation that came out yesterday, and then I would politely ask that all the questions after I review that they all refer to Western and our preparation. And I guess the thing that bothered me the most about the things that were recently written or said, or maybe even some things in the last 18 months, was the perception sometimes that was out there that we did not care as much for our players' student or players' welfare. And that is disheartening. To say that is misleading, inaccurate, and goes against everything that I've ever believed in coaching.
Okay, I'm just going to let you guys go and talk about Rich Rod here. I mean, that's going to be an easy one. Go for it.
Where do you start?
Yeah, talk about having a bad week.
Oh, my gosh.
And everything bad that could be happening to a guy has pretty much happened.
Okay, let's see. Your players say they're working long hours.
Yeah,
I don't like it.
They're working overtime, which is great if you actually have a paying job, but you can't really do that in college.
And then you get sued for a real estate deal gone bad.
And it comes out today. Apparently, I saw a story today that one of the people involved in this suit is a booster who was banned by Clemson for making illegal contributions.
Good company to be around.
Of course, Rodriguez, a former assistant at Clemson back in the late 90s or
early teens.
Yes.
And then there's the fact that Michigan's going to play three quarterbacks.
Yeah, which leads one to believe that they don't really know who their quarterback is. And that's not necessarily a good thing if you're a football team starting your season.
Are they going to do, like, shuttle them in for each play?
Rock, paper, scissors.
Everybody take a quarter. And whoever has the best quarter gets the fourth.
Well, that's a good one. I'm just thinking, okay, this game's at Michigan Stadium, so at least they got that going for them.
Yeah, and it's theoretically Michigan should be able to take Western Michigan so long as the chaos does not engulf them.
I'm just having those visions that I saw 2 years ago at the Appalachian State game and the week after that against Oregon. Remember those famous pictures from Ann Arbor of the fans in disbelief? Those great close-ups that we saw week in and week out. For some reason, I'm having those visions again.
Yeah, but those were pretty familiar last year. Michigan wasn't exactly a powerhouse team like they've been in the past.
3-9?
Yeah. This team may be better, may not be better. It remains to be seen. If it's not better, you can say this. Rich Rodriguez probably will not be long for the Ann Arbor world.
Yeah, I was going to say, with all the culture change gone bad here, is this a make-or-break game for Rich Rodriguez?
Yes.
Arguably, I don't think there's going to be that big of an issue with them winning that game. It's more what happens once they get into the conference schedule. I mean, once Ohio State spanks them and some other teams beat up on them, and if they're not staring at a 500 or better record this year, oh yeah, the temperature on the oven goes up a lot.
But then put yourself in Western Michigan's shoes, because here you're coming to the Big House from Kalamazoo, and Michigan's gettable here. I mean, normally this is a payday game or a chance for a MAC team to play a Big Ten team in their house, but I'm not saying they're going to win it, but I mean, this
no,
is...
No, I would be more... If it was a different directional Michigan school, i.e. Central with Dan LeFever,
I can understand that, but Western's not that bad in the MAC.
No. No, they are what they are, but they're still a decent team in the MAC.
Right.
And I think there's a difference in depth, and ultimately that'll be the difference in the game.
I tend to agree with you. I tend to think Michigan will win this, although... It seems to me it's going to be a 14-10 or 17-14 type of game.
It'll be a lot closer than it probably should be.
And I don't know. He needs a win. Rich Rodriguez needs a win.
He needs something
that,
to take the
after
attention
the week
off
he's
of
had.
The week that he's had.
Man, Mike Gundy, Rich Rodriguez. It's not been a good week for those guys.
No. The question is, who's next?
I don't know. Let's see. Right now, get this. Michigan, 12.5, 13-point favorite. Your total, 56. Other games, Ohio State and Navy. Ohio State's at 21 right now over Navy. And Penn State, 27 over Akron. And I'm trying to see what other games there are going on in the 10. Illinois, Missouri. Illinois at home.
That might actually be a decent game.
I always enjoy the Bush Bragging Rights game.
Illinois started at 3. Now they're up to a 7-point favorite and a total 61.
I tend to like Mizzou in that game.
Yeah, I do too. The Zookers just never quite ever play up to their potential, even with Juice Williams being a fourth or a fifth-year senior?
108th-year senior.
Yeah.
He and Chase Daniels both. Wisconsin, Northern Illinois, Purdue, Toledo. Obviously, they're making both of your pulses race.
They are ours.
Yes. I was referring to you guys, actually. And I think that's about it in the conference. Where you guys want to go next block?
Shall we go ACC?
I think we should.
That'll be D block, the fourth most important BCS conference for this weekend when the College Football Show on
in
OSG.
In no particular order.
Exactly. When the College Football Preview Show, OSG Sports Radio, comes back after this.
Don't run to the concession stand just yet. More college football is on the way. You're listening to the Count Pointer Count College Football Preview Show on OSG Sports Radio.
It's out there where the soul of NASCAR burns bright. Tracks that fans and drivers call home.
Running under the lights, the local short track. That feels like home.
Your local track is where you learn to race. That makes it home to me.
I'm always at home on Midwest dirt.
This is NASCAR local racing.
Come here a driver,
but you leave a racer.
Visit NASCAR.com and click on NASCAR local racing to find the home track near you.
This is the soul of NASCAR.
Have you made the O part of your morning? Or perhaps part of your game? Maybe an afternoon in. Or an hour in the gym. An elegant evening out. Or a vacation somewhere far away. You'll save on thousands of products at Overstock.com, as well as books, business supplies, auctions, and travel. Make the O part of your life. Overstock.com. It's all about the O.
What in God's name's going on in here? What was that ruckus?
I know he had a ruckus.
I was just in my office. I heard a ruckus.
Can you describe this ruckus, sir?
Oh, you better watch your tongue, young man. You better watch it.
Welcome back, OSG Sports Radio College Football Preview Show, and we are in block number 4, the D block. But strangely enough, it's with an A and a C, and there's no D in it.
Please don't mistake this for any ranking order of particular conferences. It's just the way we decided to talk about them today.
Yeah, this week. Biggest game of importance. And the biggest game of importance in the ACC that we think, Miami and Florida State.
That should be fun.
They always are.
And it's one of the few, those are probably two of a very few schools that actually start with a conference game, the way things kind of worked out. And it's a traditional rivalry, too.
And because TV dictates that to be the case.
And it dictate.
And as we all know, TV is all about dictation.
Exactly. I love the matchup. I think it's going to be a hell of a game.
I do, too. I think it's two teams that have huge histories that have been down for a few years but are starting to show some signs of life.
I agree. I think Miami, they're about a year away, but they've got some outstanding talent. Florida State, they might be a year away. Although, as I see John over here, an FSU alum just cringing right now.
Yeah, but even if they were 10-2, he'd probably be shaking his head.
Again, you got athletes against athletes. Quarterback play should be decent.
Yeah.
It's not the level of it was in the 90s.
Miami doesn't have any quarterbacks anymore.
They have one.
You got Ja'Cory Harris. He's not a bad one. It's not the level where it was in the 90s, but it's still going to be a fun game to watch.
Oh, I think so, too. I mean, you still got two teams where a lot of the kids know. Part of the whole rivalry thing in Florida is the fact that most of the kids either know each other or played against each other. And that
they respect each other.
Yeah, and that alone makes it a challenge because they want to beat each other.
Let's hear from the sheriff, Randy Shannon, and the coach, Bobby Bowden.
Basically, you know, we got a big challenge ahead of this Monday.
against Florida State. It's a typical great rivalry game, great for television, great for the ACC conference. Florida State is a tremendous team. Coach Bowden has done a tremendous job over his career at Florida State and his coaching staff. Offensively, Coach Jimbo Fisher has done a great job where he's been, and the quarterback that Ponder has done a phenomenal job under his leadership of making not too many mistakes to get defensive chance to capitalize. I think the keys to this game is going to be on turning the ball over, who can have less turnovers, and also tackling for both sides of the defense. Because always the first game, the biggest thing is if you can tackle, you can probably get off the field. And if you turn the ball over, it's going to be a long night for you.
You look at our schedule last year, and you lose this game by one play, and you lose this other game by two plays. So with those three plays, you're back up there, and Miami's the same way. So we're both trying to get back. We're both about the same level, and I respect all of their players. I've learned that through the years. And one thing about it, when you play Miami, they can run, and they've got athletes, and we hope we have too.
Well, the Sheriff and Bobby are pretty excited about this, and of course,
traditional rivalry against Miami. You know, it's just one. You know, it was a game to start the season off, and dadgummit, dadgummit.
Oh, we can't even get John to talk about this.
No kidding. I think the winner of this game just might reestablish themselves if they can continue down that path in the ACC in their divisions.
I think it helps them overall. I don't know necessarily that either one of these two teams are the quote-unquote elite teams in the ACC this year. I think Virginia Tech and Georgia Tech probably take that vote.
I agree.
But it does get them set on the right track. And like we talked about earlier, these are two teams that are on the rebound, and their best days are probably still ahead of them.
Well, Miami is trapped in the same division with Virginia Tech and Georgia Tech. So Florida State, though, has they got quite a bit of love in the preseason polls at the ACC Media Days. So there's still that impression of Florida State is Florida State. Now, if they win that, they may catapult them back into the top of the Atlantic.
Right.
The national consciousness, man. 6 years of mediocrity down the drain.
I mean, Christian Ponder's a good quarterback.
Yeah, he's a good quarterback.
And it all starts with that. They've got athletes at wide receivers. They've got a couple guys that step up and make some plays. Yeah, they've got some potential.
Plus, it's in Tallahassee.
Which never hurts. At the Doke, you always have the advantage.
Okay, minute left. Wrap up the ACC. What do you want to talk about now?
I don't know. I'm kind of at a loss for words. I think
you could have kept talking about Miami and Florida State.
Yeah, we could, I guess, but there's really, I don't know. I think we've kind of said everything there is to say about it. I mean, the other games J-Dub kind of hit on, everybody else is playing the designated cupcake.
Well, Maryland's got a tough one in Cal.
Yeah, yeah.
And not the Berkeley.
Yeah, that one, I don't think Maryland, quite honestly, really even has a good chance in that one. I think that's a Cal game. I don't think this is a good Maryland team this year. I think this is
See, I
out.
Think Maryland's better than you think.
Well,
Ralph loves this team.
Okay. You know better than I.
And Baylor taking on Wake Forest as well. I've forgotten about that game because Robert Griffin's going up against that Wake defense. As I've mentioned on the website, I would love to see, I'd pay to watch Robert Griffin play.
Yeah, the question is, though, is there anybody else on that team?
Not really.
Yeah.
Wake is good and solid, and this will be a good, solid team to...
And Riley Skinner, isn't he on the Freddie Wiggins plan?
I think he is.
He's been the quarterback for about 12 years.
It has to be. He's got some gray in the temples now.
Rusty LaRue. How about that one?
Rusty. Very
you
nice.
You just wanted to say that.
You're right, I did. Where are we going next?
I guess from there, we'd probably need to go to let's go to the Pac-10 next.
Pac-10.
Okay. Then when we come back, we'll talk about the Pac-10.
As I yell into a microphone. When we come back, it'll be
Say it over again, please.
Yeah, when we come back, Pac-10 on the OSG College Football Preview Show.
The Count Pointer Count College Football Preview Show on OSG Sports Radio.
The stadium rocks and swings.
6 a.m. wake-up calls. The workouts never stop. 17, suicide. The fundamentals. If you want to be great, you got to work at it. I never believed in followers. The whole team must lead. And when the playoffs hit, we all had something to prove. You will too. My name is Amari Stoudemire. I live in the Nike House of Hoops, only at Foot Locker.
Why, Jimmy? Why are you still not renting your movies from the Netflix? Come here, sit down. It's easy. Make a list of movies you want to see and get your first DVDs in the mail in about one business day.
Oh, it is easy.
Shut up. Keep them as long as you want. Send one back in a prepaid envelope, and they automatically mail another from your list. Late fees? Forget about it.
No late fees.
Shut up.
There's a movie waiting for you at home. Netflix. All the DVDs you want, starting at only $9.99 a month.
Now, I'm not here to argue the thing with you. I'm not going to debate things with you and people from television. You know, you want an answer from me, you get the answer. You don't like an answer, then don't use the program, okay?
Welcome back, fifth of the six BCS conferences. It is the
ABCD
E-Block here on the OSG Sports Radio College Football Preview Show. J-Dub, the Pac-10, please.
Okay, Nelly, as always, let's start with the teams whose lines have not been posted yet. Portland State versus Oregon State. Portland State being our team, our adopted team from last year. Idaho State and Arizona State. Those are the only two teams out of this league that haven't had posted yet. Number four, USC versus San Jose State. USC is getting 37-49 against San Jose State. I don't think I'd touch that one with a 10-foot pole. You got Washington State versus Stanford. Washington State football is horrible this year. Stanford's getting 14.5, 56. UCLA versus San Diego State. UCLA is getting 17-51. We already talked about Cal Maryland, number 12. The Cal Bears are getting 21-51 against the Terps from Maryland. Central Michigan, Arizona, our marquee matchup for this block. Arizona is getting 13.5, 56. And last but not least, number 11, LSU, taking on UW, 18-54 for the Tigers. Nelson, back to you.
Okay, I guess the marquee game, for lack of a better one, but because of the drawing power of Dan LeFever, who you mentioned earlier in the show, Central Michigan at Arizona. Can you dig it?
That's the marquee game.
It's the best that Pac-10 can do.
Well, what you want? USC, San Jose State, UCLA,
dog.
San Diego State,
dog.
Washington's hosting LSU. That's a dog.
I can't even comment on that.
Neither can I. LSU will put 50 up.
This is what I'm saying.
At least Ty Willingham's not in Washington anymore, but I don't know that that's going to change anything.
I think Central Michigan-Arizona might be a decent game.
Yeah, and the Fighting LeFevers have a puncher's chance there, probably more so than any of the other mid-majors playing against a big power. Well, I don't know. I'm not sure I would call Arizona a big power. I would call them
an up-and-coming.
In a power conference.
Okay, I'll give the Pac-10 power conference label. I guess what Central Michigan will have to adjust to is a body clock, because it's going to be a late start for them.
That and
actually
temperature.
And temperature. Yeah, so it will be a mighty toasty in Tucson, even at 7 o'clock at night.
Oh, yeah. You're talking triple digits from the kids up from Michigan who probably have either, A, never experienced it, or B, never experienced it for a prolonged period.
And Stoops is a defensive-minded coach, so they'll be Fever's going to face some guys that, you know, they don't call it the Desert Swarm for nothing over there.
True that. And his last experience with a major conference wasn't exactly a sterling one.
No, it wasn't.
But I think the team he played then was probably a little bit better than this Arizona team.
You're probably right. Of course, you know, Arizona really needs to get off into a good start.
He said get off.
Yeah, you did say get off, didn't you?
I did.
They do. If they want to have any chance of competing in the Pac-10, they got to get out.
Wow.
I don't think that was a gunshot.
No, I think
I hope not.
That was a pallet dropping here in the rumble room. Hey, by the way, let's hear from the coaches for both Arizona and Central Michigan.
You know, we're going to be very well prepared and understand what we have to do to win this game. And obviously our defense, we feel, is the strength of our team, and we're going to get you know, contested in a lot of different ways. So we need to be sharp. So in a lot of ways, I think it's a great opening game for us. We've had some extra time to prepare for it. And, you know, we're taking Central Michigan, as serious as you can. I mean, we're putting in probably an extra 4 or 5 days of preparation to make sure we're well prepared for this game.
You know, obviously it'll be the first time that we've taken our football program out to the West Coast and, you know, with the 3-hour time change. But, you know, it is what it is, and I don't think you can make too big a deal with it. And, you know, our kids are pretty good at improvising, and they're pretty good at change. And, you know, we've tried to change things up on them throughout training camp with different practice times and kind of get them out of their element, so to speak. So, you know, I don't think that'll be too much of an issue.
Okay. What else is going on in the Pac-10?
Have we got anything else fun?
Well, yeah. I mean, LSU and Washington, that's fun.
Yeah, and Les Miles taking his roadshow up to the Great Northwest. I mean, that should be interesting unto itself, just because I think Les Miles is interesting.
Well, I mean, both teams will have purple on.
Yeah, yes, they will.
Great venue.
Yes.
One of the best venues in college
football.
One of
the most scenic by far. Washington, however, not exactly been...
Steve Sarkisian makes his debut.
As the coach of one of the bottom five teams in football.
for UW. So there you go. That's all I got.
Okay. So I figured it was a dog game. You got San Diego State and UCLA. Passion buckets will be full of water as they battle the forest fires. They're going to play this one.
Okay.
I mean, because that was the thought up in the Arroyo Seco, that the forest fires would be kind of infringing and impinging with all the smoke and the nastiness.
Right, but they're going to go ahead and suck it up, no pun intended, and play.
Yep. 4 hours earlier, USC will be hosting San Jose State.
Yeah, good for USC. Nothing like having a practice game to start the season.
Stanford's going to Wazoo.
A conference game for both those guys? Yeah. I like Stanford in that one.
Yeah, I think that's probably a pretty safe play. Wazoo also one of the five worst teams in college football last year.
All right, where should we go next?
I think
East. We don't have any choices.
The East is least.
The East is least, exactly. We'll hear from the Big East, talk about the Big East.
In many ways, shapes,
and
form. And
Phil and I promise we'll do some studying when we talk about the Big East when we return on the College Football Spectacular Show.
On what network? The OSG Sports Radio Network.
Stay tuned. More college football previews are coming up on this special edition of Count Porter Count on OSG Sports Radio.
Who's in control, you or your bills? Hi, I'm John. Do you need help with your bills? If you've got to choose between paying all your bills and buying groceries, you need help. If you take a cash advance from one card to pay another, you need help. If your paycheck won't cover all your bills, you need help. With DebtHelp.com, you're in charge again. Their money management professionals show you how to get control of your financial life again, and it's pain-free. The folks at DebtHelp.com have the knowledge and contacts you need to get control and stay in control of your debts. Imagine all your bills paid, groceries in the pantry, and enough spare cash to go to the movies. You can do that again with DebtHelp.com. Check them out. DebtHelp.com can help you with other things, too. Credit cards, mortgages, student loans, taxes, it doesn't matter. DebtHelp.com will get them under control. Go to DebtHelp.com and enter my name, John, for the priority code. DebtHelp.com. One site, one solution.
It's broadcast in 1080i. I totally don't know what that means, but it won't.
Oh, that there was some good TV.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
Welcome back to the last BCS conference that we're going to look at this week, in order. Big least, or just the East until they become big. J-Dub, go ahead and tell the peoples about all the other games that we're not really going to talk about all that much.
Okay, guys, wrapping it up with a big least. Got the dreaded others coming up in the next segment, but I'll give you what I got here. Lots of these games do not have lines, but let's see what we got. Liberty versus West Virginia at 12 o'clock on Saturday. Youngstown State versus Pittsburgh. Wofford versus South Florida. Indiana State versus Louisville. Those are the games in the Big East that do not have lines yet. Let's look at the other ones now. Minnesota versus Syracuse. Minnesota's getting 3.5, 49 over the Orange. You've got Connecticut
versus Ohio. UConn's getting 548 over Ohio. And then you've got our marquee matchup, Cincinnati versus Rutgers. Rutgers is getting 548. Guys, back to you.
And so kind of by default, we are going all the way to Monday night, or Monday afternoon, Labor Day, actually. How's this for an odd kickoff time? 4 o'clock Eastern, Monday afternoon, Labor Day. Cincinnati at Rutgers. Rutgers 5.5 and 6. Total 48.5, 49, fairly constant all the way through.
Well, that should be an interesting matchup. I mean, Cincinnati last year, your Big East champ, BCS bowl team, and soon to be my hometown, but that's a separate issue.
Yes.
They lost a lot last year. I mean,
especially on defense.
Yeah, they graduated pretty much their entire defense, and Coach Brian Kelly's got a lot of rebuilding to do. Rutgers is kind of heading the other way. Young, also with some holes to fill, but they're a little bit more on the uptick than they finished last year. I believe it was, what, 5 or 6 games and a winning streak?
I believe so, and plus this game is at Rutgers, so they've
in
got
Piscataway.
That advantage at Piscataway, New Jersey.
Nothing I agree. Like a Labor Day in Piscataway.
Isn't there a song?
If not, there should be.
And Springsteen sing that?
Southside Johnny and the Asbury Dukes.
Whatever. I think both teams have a lot of adapting to do.
Yeah.
Especially Cincinnati.
I think that's kind of the underlying theme of pretty much the whole Big East this year.
Yeah. Both coaches are probably the top 2 coaches in the Big East.
Oh, no question.
And both teams are going to be prepared. In fact, let's hear from both coaches, Greg Schiano and
Brian Kelly.
Well, expectations. Anytime you have the league champs, defending league champs, to open your schedule is certainly a heightened awareness of what needs to get done. I thought we had a really good training camp. Our guys worked extremely hard, and we were fortunate and blessed to get away with not having not too many serious injuries. So now we're kind of into a game week preparation, and as we focus on Cincinnati, you can see why they are the defending champs. They don't have a lot of weaknesses.
I think I'm probably like everybody else. We're anxious to play a game. We've got this week to kind of really hone in on Rutgers, but got through the preseason camp, and you know, obviously some of the big challenges for us were replacing 10 starters on defense and, you know, finding some balance and continuity on offense. And I think we got through camp, and now it's a matter of getting a chance to put these guys on the field in a game-like situation.
Okay, so we've heard from the coaches. And, again, as I said, they're two of the best. They're going to be well-prepared. I got to give the edge to Rutgers on this one simply because it's at home and their offense is a little more tailor-made, I guess, to go up against that Cincinnati defense.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you. I think Cincinnati's still got some adjusting to do, and anytime you've got to plug in that many holes on a defense after the previous season, you're going to struggle a little bit out of the gate. Not to say that they're going to be a bad team this year. I think they're probably a bowl team, but I'm not sure they're quite ready yet for prime time.
And I think both teams have something to prove because they've been kind of the sexy darlings, if you will. You know, Rutgers, when they had their...
Sexy beast you.
Exactly.
Sexy darlings.
Well, you remember when Rutgers was starting to win games and...
Oh, yeah.
People were jumping on the Rutgers bandwagon. And then Cincinnati last year.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was on the Brian Kelly bandwagon. And Cincinnati is the up-and-coming team. And both have suffered some losses and now are having to reprove that their program can be sustainable. And that's the type of game... it's two teams that really want to prove themselves.
Yeah, I don't think it's a make-or-break game for either one this year, but I think it's probably a game that'll set the tone for the rest of the season for both of them.
I agree.
Now, let's think about the other sexy game that's in the East this week. Punky Brewster visiting Syracuse. Minnesota and Syracuse. That's how sexy the games are in the East this week.
With Greg Paulus as your quarterback at Syracuse.
I think he's good for 12-8, maybe.
Yeah, probably. With a couple of steals to boot.
He's going to need him.
Yeah, he probably will.
As long as he doesn't dribble.
Careful now.
Yeah, in Syracuse, new coach, new
attitude.
New everything. but Minnesota's probably a little bit better of a team at this point. A little bit more established. They had a pretty good year last year.
I say go with the Gophers.
Well, considering that the game started at 3.5 and it's up to 7, Minnesota, yeah, I think you were on the right track. Guess what's next, guys? The Dreaded Others.
Oh, my goodness.
So every other conference that you haven't heard about.
You can never have enough Dreaded Others.
Plus the Independents will be coming up in the next block here on the OSG College Football Countdown Extravaganza, I guess as you called it last block, here on the OSG Sports Radio Network.
I just made it up.
That's the longest SIG out ever.
Roll your break.
Don't run to the concession stand just yet. More college football is on the way. You're listening to the Count Pointer Count College Football Preview Show on OSG Sports Radio.
Homeowners, if there is a way to lower your mortgage payment by up to 50%, would you want to know about it? Of course you would. Here's the secret. Quicken Loans. That's right. Quicken Loans with their new exclusive Secure Advantage loan. Write this number down. 800-981-2488. Secure Advantage allows you to choose the payment you want every month. You can pay more if you want, or make a minimum payment that's around 50% less than what you're paying right now. That could free up all kinds of cash. Plus, with Secure Advantage, you can lock in a rate that's fixed for years. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-981-2488. Give them 5 minutes, and you could cut your payment up to 50% and put thousands of dollars back in your pocket. You can get approved right over the phone, and Quicken Loans never has prepayment penalties. So call right now at 800-981-2488 and get the Secure Advantage. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. Call Quicken Loans at 800-981-2488.
It's Division I football! It's a Big 12! Go play intramurals, brother!
You see, we're on a mission from God.
Throw me a freaking bone here. I'm the boss. Need the info.
All right, welcome back to the Dreaded Others segment of the OSG Sports Radio College Football Preview Show. Now, once again, we've had talk about this in the past. People have actually emailed us at the show and wanted to know why we would call it the Dreaded Others.
Just because they're not attached to anything.
It's not a reflection upon the schools themselves.
Oh, no.
It's just that they're not BCS until they stomp bloody murder to get into the BCS, to get looked at. So it is not a reflection upon the way play on the field.
And it's been proven multiple times that just because they're Dreaded Others doesn't mean they're not necessarily better.
Yeah, I mean, like Utah, for example, last season. So this is where you get to hear about Conference USA, the WAC, the Mountain West, the Sun Belt, the MAC, and anything, and Independence.
And then any other acronym that we haven't remembered.
Right, and this is where J-Dub tells us about all the other games we're not going to talk about.
And this is what I've been waiting for, guys, the Dreaded Others. Every other game that's happening in the world of college football, I'm not going to give you the lines, I'm just going to run down the schedule of everything that's happening. Towson versus Northwestern, Akron versus number 9 Penn State, Toledo versus Purdue, Navy versus number 6 Ohio State, the Ohio State, Appalachian State versus East Carolina, Montana State versus Michigan State, Northern Iowa versus number 22 Iowa, Nicholls State versus Air Force, Northeastern and Boston College. That game takes place at 2 o'clock. Weber State versus Wyoming, Nevada versus Notre Dame. We've talked about that game already. Southern Illinois versus Marshall, Rice versus UAB, Northwestern State versus Houston, Alcorn State versus Southern Miss, Army versus Eastern Michigan, Northern Illinois versus Wisconsin, Southern versus Louisiana Lafayette, Samford versus UCF, Idaho versus New Mexico State, Stephen F. Austin versus SMU, Buffalo versus UTEP, UC Davis and Fresno State battle it out, Sacramento State and UNLV. Whew. Enjoy your college football Saturday. That's it from OSG headquarters, guys. I'm throwing it back to you to wrap up the show.
Okay, but the game we are going to talk about.
Yeah.
That lovely billboard hanging outside of campus. Nevada and Notre Dame. Now, as I'm going to thumb through the lines real quick, just see if I can find it quickly. Notre Dame started out at 10. They're now a 2-touchdown favorite and a total 61. Are you kidding me?
You must be joking.
Yeah, there's been this, all of a sudden in the last 2 weeks, there's been this sudden rush to anoint Notre Dame, this potential threat of a football team, and I'm not sure where it's coming from.
Well, didn't Lou Holtz put him in the BCS championship game?
Yeah, but just
that's Lou Holtz.
Yeah, just because Lou Holtz says it doesn't mean it's true.
Unless you're a Notre Dame fan.
Yeah.
Or Regis Philbin.
The systematic advantage that Notre Dame has going up against all these teams. Now, Nevada, they got a great passing game. Colin Kaepernick, that's the guy you got to pay attention to. Just pay attention. It's going to be closer than everything will indicate.
And Grant, I'll grant you that Notre Dame doesn't play a particularly tough schedule this year.
No.
But they had a horrible team last year, and the same guys are back.
I agree. And I think this game opens up for an upset of Nevada.
Oh, yeah.
I really like this Nevada team. The first game of the year. Will we see those scenes at Michigan Stadium, at Notre Dame Stadium?
I don't know necessarily if you'll see the same scene, because it's not quite on the same scale, but it's not far from it.
Well, if you're putting up billboards.
Yeah.
And what kind of pressure do you think Charlie Weiss has?
Well, whatever pressure he had just multiplied. Because apparently the heat's being brought. I think if they don't win 9 to 10 games this year, he's probably gone.
You think so?
Yeah.
I tend to agree with you, and I think, again, the pressure that I go back to Oklahoma State, how they're feeling the pressure of facing Georgia, I wonder if that is kind of meandering there in that Notre Dame, because there's some pressure there.
You're going to use the word permeating instead of meandering?
That too.
Yeah, I
don't matriculating. You like that better?
I don't know. Down the field.
I don't know if that pressure is game specific. I think it's overall season specific.
Okay.
I don't know necessarily that they're going to be feeling. I don't think his sphincter is going to be tight over playing Nevada. I think it's just tight
in
general.
I didn't need that mental image.
Oh, come on. This is a PG-rated show.
No, it's more like MA, the way that you're drawing images of Charlie Weiss's sphincter. And speaking of which, here are your coaches.
Sometimes when you're watching a team, you don't have enough evidence on tape. And it's a tough sell where you're getting up in front of your team and you're trying to say, you know, how tough a team and how tough a game it's going to be, how tough a game it's going to be. But, I mean, there's plenty of evidence on tape with this team right here. And there's plenty of, you know, when you're watching those two defensive ends sack guys 20 times, have another 36 tackles for loss, and that's just at the defensive end position. I mean, that gets your attention. And you watch them go up and down the field against everyone on offense, that gets your attention.
Well, obviously, everybody's excited about that opportunity, simply since Notre Dame is Notre Dame and is the epitome of college football. And to boot, you know, they have some excellent players. So we've worked hard. You know, we have no interest in just hearing about an opportunity. We know it's a challenge, and we've got to be concerned about a couple things. One is that you're not in this situation just for the Notre Dame game. You're in for the long haul, which means into conference play. And I think games like this, especially like this, when they hit you in the face, particularly the first game, it not only helps you to develop the character of your team, but I think it reveals some of the character of your upperclassmen a little bit sooner than normal.
I'm having a hard time with that, too. That vision.
Point made, though.
Point well made.
They are legitimately in trouble. They are not bet. They are better than probably 9 or 10 teams on their schedule.
They're not BCS better.
But I don't know that they're. Yeah, I don't know that they're better than, or they will beat 9 or 10 teams on that schedule.
I do see this being a coming up party for Colin Kaepernick.
Oh yeah,
their quarterback.
And I'm not sure Notre Dame's prepared for him.
I don't think they are. They're not going to see a quarterback really. I mean, think about going up in your first game against seeing a quarterback like Kaepernick.
Oh, yeah, and you're going to find out really quick if you're ready. And he brings something that Notre Dame just doesn't run across very often.
Will we miss him?
Tulsa Tulane. I'm scanning.
They both start with
pretty much. Jada pretty much covered it, so that's pretty much dreaded out.
Where are we going?
I know what we haven't touched on.
What?
Boise State and Oregon.
Yeah, because, yeah, I mean, well, the game's already been played by the time this runs, but talk about the years that they'll have.
Both of those teams are interesting teams. Boise State, a potential BCS bracket buster again this year. They seem to be every year.
Yeah, I just think Oregon's going to be a tougher unit.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you. I think Boise beat Oregon last year in Oregon, and I'm not sure I see that happening this year. Oregon's got a big, nasty reputation for this year.
Yeah.
Well, it opened at 5.5. Boise favors now at 3.5, 4 around there. So
it is on the Smurf turf.
Right.
So it'll be interesting. Obviously, this will be long after that game's played, but it'll set the tone for both of these teams' seasons, because if they either one of them have aspirations of getting into the BCS, they get shot down almost immediately on week one.
I agree.
Okay, so last block will be coming up, and we get to tell people who we've officially adopted this year. In years past, it has been Portland State. We get to tell them who are the OSG adoptee is, and we'll come up with a Dirty Dozen and a top five.
Okay.
In no real order. So that's one more block to go, and that's the whatever block that was on the OSG Sports Radio College Football Extravaganza.
Woo-hoo.
We'll be back. Bye.
Egos on this show are larger than they appear. More OSG Sports Radio is coming up.
Are you an inventor, or do you know an inventor who would like to attempt to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to industry? Well, for free information on how to proceed, call this toll-free number.
Call 800-346-9988.
InventHelp, one of America's largest invention companies, has inventor information you can have for free. Record your invention's date of origination, plus get an information brochure and other materials of interest to new inventors. Learn how to get this free information just by calling this toll-free number.
Call 800-346-9988. That's 1-800-346-9988.
Even if you have an idea for improving an existing product and don't know where to go with it, you'll want this free inventor's information. It shows how InventHelp may assist you in trying to patent your invention and submit it to industry. So call InventHelp right now, toll free.
Call 800-346-9988. That's 1-800-346-9988.
We were all disturbed, and if we're not, why not? Doesn't this blend of blindness and blandness want to make you do something crazy? Then why not do something crazy? It makes a hell of a lot more sense than blowing your brains out.
Yes, I'm sorry. I do not speak English, okay?
But you were just talking.
Yes, yes, hot dog, yes, sir, no, sir, maybe, okay.
Welcome back, last block of the show, and this is where we talk about the people who are good and the people who are bad, and we poke fun at all of them equally. J-Dub, go ahead and give them your top five for the worst that exist on the planet as we head into week one, and your best 12.
To be perfectly honest, John, I think I'm going to play the I don't like rankings of any sort before the season starts. I mean, it's September, so everybody right now is equally good, equally bad. I mean, you've got the Floridas, you've got the Oklahomas, you've got those guys up at the top, and you've got the North Texases, and, you know, anybody out of the state of Washington up there, too, for the worst. So I think I'm going to play the safe bet and say nobody and let you guys have fun, because I know North Texas is going to be on somebody's list somewhere.
Okay. Obviously, let's start with the bottom five, because that's easy. In no real order, since it's week one and rankings really don't matter yet.
Not until October.
Right.
No. So, but don't get me started on that one.
Yeah. So, okay, think of the five worst teams that you can think of in college football.
Two of them probably reside in the state of Washington.
I would agree to that.
North Texas, and think of two more.
I guess two would reside in Texas, North Texas and SMU.
Yeah, I mean, that gives us four. Although I think SMU might show some signs of life this year.
Yeah, but we're at the beginning of the year, so they got to show me something.
Well, true that, true that. John, any idea who we're missing here?
Who's really bad? I would say Charleston Southern, but they're 1AA.
Yeah, well, Tulane's not that good.
No.
They're not that bad, though. They're not North Texas bad, though.
Florida International is a perennial.
Yeah, the funny crystal balls actually have a shot this year.
True. We're having a hard time identifying number five here.
Idaho.
Idaho's good.
Okay, we'll go with
that. They
Idaho.
Win.
Okay. Sure, tag, you're it.
All right, top 12, who are they?
I guess in the bottom five, we got three of them would be up in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah?
Idaho, Washington State.
I'm not sure.
That's kind of a wicked triangle up there, isn't it?
Yeah, not making any many statements or judgments there, but...
J-Dub used to work in Spokane.
Maybe someday we'll all be able to go up and watch a game at the Kibbe Dome.
Woohoo!
I've been there.
Top 12, Florida, Oklahoma, Texas, name nine more.
Georgia?
I don't know if I put them in my top 12 yet.
Oklahoma State?
I would have up until this week.
Ohio State, Penn State.
Yeah.
Yes, to Penn State.
Geez, who else? LSU.
LSU, Alabama.
Alabama.
I put Virginia Tech up there.
Eight.
You
got four more. Think about it. Four more.
Obviously, USC.
Nine. Three more.
Oh, geez. This, I feel like I'm taking a test.
That's the idea.
This makes very compelling radio.
Three more. Think of three more quickly.
Did we name Virginia Tech?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, how about Georgia Tech?
Okay, 10.
Yeah, I'll go with Georgia Tech.
Two more.
From the non-BCS legions, I'm going to go with BYU.
Boise.
And Boise.
Boise? Well, that may by the time this airs, that may be done if they don't beat Oregon.
And honorable mention to Appalachian State.
Of course, although Armani Edwards is injured because he wrestled with a lawnmower
in a lawnmower accident.
Okay, now, in years past, we have adopted a school and followed their progress here on the show. Last year that we were on, it was Portland State, just because we kind of enjoyed the idea of Jerry Glanville and Miles Davis being back playing college football. This year, we're kind of ahead of the curve a little bit. The year before they hit the field for real, we are adopting the University of South Alabama Jaguars. We'll be following their progress this year.
Okay.
What, you got a problem with that?
No, I just...
They're playing. We can't adopt Georgia State yet. We can't adopt Lamar yet. We can't adopt Pacific yet.
The dreaded exhibition schedule this year.
Yeah, they're playing a bunch of JV squads.
But they're playing.
Yes, yeah. Seven games. Their first game is this weekend against Hargrove Military. Let's hear from Joey Jones. And, yes, it's that Joey Jones.
Everything we've done has been first class. One of the comments I'm hearing around the, you know, on campus with the guys in administration is that, you know, we're in this, we're going to do it right. And they're not going to piecemeal the deal and try to, you know, get things together in 5 or 6 years. They said, let's do it right up front because we want a good football program. We want to bring that to, you know, a school that's already got great academics and great athletics, so they're trying to add football to it, but they do things in a first-class way.
So we say, guys, go Jags?
For this year, anyway.
Yeah, for this year. I mean, those schedules are always fun. I was actually at Georgia Southern when they started their program. The first 2 years they started their program, they played a similar schedule, including a couple of games against the Savannah, I think it was the Savannah Police Department in 1982. It's always...
Why does that make sense?
So, Irk wanted to make sure that the boys wouldn't get into trouble, so he played the Savannah PD.
That's great.
But that's the kind of teams that you dig up for games like that, because just there's not a whole lot of schools right now that even have JV programs, much less JV teams.
Till the junior colleges work.
Yeah, he's got Hargrove Military. I know he's playing a game against Georgia Military College's JV. So there's seven games, and whenever they have a game, we'll run post, and we will tap into the Joey Jones show and figure out just how they're doing as they lean into Division I AA football.
You just like saying Joey Jones.
Joey Jones. Not to be confused with Jam, Lamb, or Ham Jones, or was it Bam Jones?
No, you had it right.
Okay.
Johnny Ham, Johnny Lamb, and AJ Jam.
I see.
I'm impressed. I hope that picked up.
Yeah, really.
Everybody in Austin, Texas will know what I'm talking about.
Okay, any other thoughts one way or the other heading into this first weekend?
I'm just looking forward to another great year of college football. I think we got some decent matchups in week one. Let's see how the ACC does against the SEC, because we got a couple of those matchups. And let's see how the Big 12 does against the SEC. Well, you can see a theme here, the mighty SEC.
Yeah, putting themselves out there a little bit.
Putting themselves out there. And let's see what kind of the end of the week Mike Gundy and Rich Rodriguez have, because the week has not been good.
No, hopefully neither one of those two will actually self-implode, because they do have games to coach on Saturday.
Give it time. You want to talk spontaneous combustion? I think those are your top two competitors.
Oh, no question about that.
I agree. And Charlie Weiss kind of off on the sidelines.
And, yeah, as long as he doesn't get run over again.
Strangely, I have visions of Monty Python, The Life of Brian going through my head right now.
Always look on the bright side of life. J-Dub, take us home.
Thanks for listening to Count Pointer Count. Today's show was brought to you by OnlineSportsGuys.com, Distant Replays, the World Internet Radio Network, Podomatic, Liberated Syndication, and ICD Soft. For more information about Count Pointer Count, please visit the show's website at pointercount.podomatic.com or check out OSG at www.OnlineSportsGuys.com. I'm Mike Blakeney. See you next week on Count Pointer Count.